Up Headlines.
All right, the latest on the Malcolm Butler situation comes from Mike Giardi. He tweeted out this afternoon that Pats captains were aware that Butler was being sat, but exactly when they were informed, he isn't quite sure yet. Bill Belichick, when asked about it on the conference call, said it would be a much longer discussion. There are a lot of things that go into that. Bill was also asked if he plans on coming back next year. He said, "I've addressed that question. I'm not going to be asked the same question every day. That's ridiculous." Last month, Belichick said he absolutely expected to be back. There have been some Greg Schiano rumors floating around this morning. Bruce Feldman tweeting out, though, that he's told Schiano hasn't decided whether or not he's leaving Ohio State yet. Brian Flores may get promoted to defensive coordinator for the Pats, and Schiano could still have a job with a different position with New England, but he hasn't quite decided yet. Celtics were 97-96 winners over the Blazers yesterday. Boston off until tomorrow when they take on the Raptors. Adam Himmelsbach reporting that Greg Monroe has arrived in Boston. The Seas, though, are still waiting a bit to finalize the deal to keep some flexibility prior to the trade deadline. Sports Hub Headlines brought to you by MassachusettsCosmetic.com, offering a huge New Year's special on testosterone replacement therapy and Gaines Wave treatments. Call 877-577-5476. I'm Tim McConnell, Boston, home for Sports 98.5. The Sports Hub, your next update, 30 minutes.
Talking about the Pat Sox, Celtics, Bruin, Revolution, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At my future, for sure. I'm going to sit down the next couple of weeks, reflect on the season. We fought all year long, all the receivers, running backs, linemen. I mean, we put all the work in together. So I'm just going to reflect on the season, proud of the boys, and just see what happens from here.
There's Gronk after the game last night. It is, you know, the immediate passion after losing a game. I understand that. Strange way to answer a question, though. And it does leave the door open, to put it mildly, leaves the door open. Lot of uncertainty of futures here in New England, Gronk included. I'm not taking Belichick or Brady off the list, quite frankly, not yet. And I think you look at, you know, some of the other assistants, what's McDaniels doing, assistants beneath them. Not that anyone cares, again, about Ivan Fears and whether or not he's back to coach the running backs, but what if there is this mass exodus? There's got to be a reason for it, right? So why are people leaving? Is it that intolerable down there? Or intolerable down there to be around the tension? The crafts don't like the word dysfunction. They don't like that, but they'll readily acknowledge there was tension down there. They'll even tell you it's good. Tension's actually good. If everyone starts leaving, you start to look at that. So there's a lot of uncertainty here in New England. And I thought today we'd wake up with 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. And I mean, I still think Brady and Belichick are the greatest of all time. I still think it's multiple dynasties, but it'd go together a lot nicer with another Super Bowl. And this one, make no mistake, leaves a mark. It leaves a mark when the greatest coach of all time loses to a backup quarterback based on his own personnel decision-making, sitting down Malcolm Butler, who even if you don't like the year that he had, and I don't, he's at worst their second-best corner, at worst. And, you know, I said this earlier, Nick, not that it's necessarily the topic for today, but, man, we talk about Brady, Bill, who made who. Who was more important to the dynasty? And obviously, the real answer is both of them. I mean, this is one that you look at and you go, whoa, boy. I mean, look at the importance of the quarterback. 33 points, 500 yards. You know, a great game by Brady. Maybe not a perfect game, but pretty close. And then you look at the coach on the other side, you say, Brady should have won that game, and Bill kept him from doing it. So, I don't know, I already felt that the quarterback was more important. Today's probably not the day to hash that one out, but when we have that debate going forward, this Super Bowl should figure prominently, I think, into that discussion.
It's just really tough to justify some of the decisions that were made last night, especially when we're given football reasons, football reasons, football reasons. I don't know why Jordan Richards steps on the field last night. He's not good. We've seen him be not good since he's been here. So in the biggest game of the year, to throw him out there, it's just a gigantic question. To not play Butler is the obvious elephant in the room that is going to be addressed for probably the next several years. The idea to go out there and stick Rowe and Gilmore to specific sides of the field to start this game, which goes against what they did with Gilmore for most of this year. When Gilmore was at his best, it was stick to that receiver, he's your guy, take him out of the game. And when the Patriots decided to roll Gilmore over to Jeffrey, he shut Jeffrey down. Unfortunately, that came after Jeffrey caught a touchdown pass on Rowe.
I hate to bring it up. Maybe don't go to the Timberwolves game. Maybe you could make that decision a little quicker, Cattles. I don't hate to bring it up. I'm just kidding. I love to bring it up. I enjoy bringing that up. Maybe if you put a little more thought into it, instead of eating popcorn watching Jimmy Butler, maybe you'd know to have Gilmore out there shadowing Alshon Jeffrey. So just look, the Butler thing is so strange. There's a lot flying around right now. Nick and I were just talking about this off the air. Barstool's kind of run with a story that Butler had some discipline issues during the week.
Yeah.
Maybe even freaked out on coaches. We don't know what's true and what's not. I just, again, if that's what happened, I would ask Bill or anyone else the exact same question. Why do you make Butler active? Let's say he missed a curfew and he got upset with coaches about it, right? Why make him active? One, that's an easy one. Just if he's that bad and he's that much of a discipline problem, then he's not up. Then you're out for this game. Sorry, Malcolm. Tough. But that's how I run things. The authoritarian disciplinarian in Bill Belichick, he says you're not playing, so he's inactive. And even furthermore, how does he get onto the field for a snap? Not on defense, but on special teams. So again, I don't want to read you all the details of the report. I don't know that it's accurate, but there's a lot of stuff flying around, a lot of theories on what Butler did. If any of that's true, then Bill should have made him inactive, and Bill didn't do it. So he was wishy-washy with this. Butler even got on the field. So Bill wasn't even the disciplinarian authoritarian that some who want to cut him slack are making him out to be. He let Butler play and he let him dress. If what he did was so bad, don't let him on the field. Don't let him be active. I don't think that one's that hard. And if it's just a disciplinary thing, missing a curfew, is that even worth sitting him down for a game? That's another debate as well. But I don't necessarily want to get into it till we know some more details on that. Not that Bill's shedding any light.
Yeah, here's the unfortunate part of all of this. I don't think we'll ever know the truth, right? Because if something comes out, it's going to come out from Butler's camp. I don't think Belichick is going to speak out of school here on this. And I also don't expect players to talk about it, because if Belichick finds out, then they're the ones on the chopping block. So it's not impossible. But what I would say is, if a story comes out about this week,
I'm not holding my breath either. And it's probably going to be from Butler.
It's probably going to be from Butler's camp, which is going to be one-sided. If it comes from Butler's camp, it's going to make Butler look better, right? Depending on what happens. So we'll never know.
What's coming out right now doesn't look all that great.
Yeah, we'll never know the truth.
So if that's from Butler's camp, then we really have a problem.
I mean, we might find out, but I find it hard to believe that we will find the truth to be revealed here regarding Butler in the Super Bowl.
If we're going to find out, do it in the next 51 minutes. Don't drop it at like 2:01, please.
Give it to us now.
You know, all due respect to Felger and Maz, but try to drop it before 2 if you could. 617-779-0985. Ryan is in New Hampshire, not mincing any words. Says you thought the game plan was dumb, Ryan?
Yeah, I did. But before I get to that, talking about two Bills in everybody's face, who decided to put you two in the morning show today? Bills and everybody's eardrums, but look, I thought going into the week that you got to take away Zach Ertz for the Pats to have any success on defense, and they took their best tight end man-to-man guy and put him on Nelson Aguilar, and he couldn't keep up. Nelson Aguilar is a shifty guy. Pat Chung plays better against big guys, and I thought that was a pretty easy change to make. Like, you just put Chung on Ertz, and they didn't cover either of those players all day. And I think you made yourself worse in two spots by doing that.
Okay. So, I mean, add that one to the list. Should Chung have been on Ertz more? I know Chung, I mean, I guess in Bill's defense, Chung was hurt when Ertz had the go-ahead touchdown. It was McCourty on Ertz on the one where he was juggling the football and going into the end zone, which I did not have much question that one was a touchdown. The Clement one should not have been a touchdown. And maybe we can get back into the refs. We touched on that earlier a little later on. Add that one to the list. I mean, Ertz was, if you want to get back into game stuff, Nick, Ertz had all the big plays on that game-winning drive, which was huge, by the way. I had kind of forgotten. The Patriots took the lead, I think, with 9:22 left. You know, they surge in front on the Gronk touchdown. Gostkowski actually makes an extra. Oh, no, sorry. Did they go for two there? They did go for two there, right? No, that was later. When did the Patriots go for two? Now it's all running together. They go up 33-32, whatever. Leave that part out of it. Gronkowski gets in the end zone. They're up 33-32 with 9:22 left. Something like that. 9.5 minutes, a little more than 9 minutes left. Eagles go on a 7-minute drive. They eat up all kinds of clock. Ertz has a big conversion on third down. He has a massive conversion on fourth down, which, again, Peterson is aggressive and going for it, unlike Doug Marrone in the AFC Championship game. We beg for it out of coaches. Peterson, to his credit, actually did it. They go for it on fourth down after getting the touchdown earlier in the game on fourth down. It's Ertz on the conversion. It's Ertz with the go-ahead touchdown. So, yeah, their approach on him was poor, too. And he's a good player, but it was a poor approach there.
Yeah, just defensively, there were just a lot of questions, a lot of holes out there. You don't give up 41 points and the yardage they gave up and play that kind of third down defense without some head-scratching decisions made. And I think we'll look at this game plan and we'll question it. And we'll question why there wasn't any serious adjustment made in the second half. Butler's out there. He could have played. You know, Jordan Richards doesn't have to play. You can't really. We sit back and we talk about Belichick all the time and how great he is, and that's because he is the greatest of all time. But a lot of that has to do with his ability to change on the fly, and we really did not see that defensively. I thought they brought some more pressure onto Foles in the second half, and it was almost, hey, we're going to try to address this issue, the secondary, by getting pressure on Foles instead of addressing the secondary and maybe playing Butler. It was kind of, you know, back asswards, as they would say. You try to figure it out. What the hell are you doing? And you don't really have that feeling. I will tell you this right now. Feelings that Patriots fans are having right now about what happened last night, this is what normal NFL fans go through, because that's how bad the coaching is.
That's a good point. It's how the other half lives.
This is like how the...
Not even the other half. It's how the other 31 live.
Yeah, it's like you're not used to waking up the next morning still shaking your head on decisions made by Belichick.
Yeah.
And the lack of adjustments and throughout the entirety of a game. Like I said, maybe going back to the Denver game in 2015 when he had Harper out there receiving punts and he kept taking it off the chest.
We're going back to 2009, but 4th and 2. I mean, that was a big one where you know, you can really look at it and go, wait a minute, Bill screwed up? Like, it doesn't happen often, but he is, despite his little robot emotions, he is a human being, and he screws up.
He has screwed up individual plays. What I think, what separates last night from those other screw-ups is that this was the entire game.
It's not heat-of-the-moment decision.
Yeah, it was the first whistle to the last.
It was an approach over three and a half hours, maybe over 2 weeks. I mean, that's true. It's not a crime of passion, if you will, Cattles.
Oh, I like that.
It was more egregious than that. By the way, Gostkowski did make that extra point. The going for two was Philly. I don't know why that all ran together for me. So good job by Gostkowski. Finally knocked through an extra point and gave the Patriots the lead. And then Ertz was massive on that drive. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with all your feedback. I mentioned the refs, and we might as well get to them with all your phone calls right after the CBS Sports Minute. It is brought to you by DiBella Law Office. John Feinstein on the newest Pro Football Hall of Fame class.
So, at the Beatles. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Snap to Foles. Backs up. Pocket holding a lot of time to throw it left toward the end zone. And that pass is perfect. On the money. Over two defenders. Touchdown, Eagles. What a throw from Nick Foles.
It's double coverage.
Corey Clement.
Hold on. But was Clement. Left foot might be out.
Inbounds when he made the play. All right, Gene Steratore with Al Riverone, the head of officiating, taking a look at the Corey Clement.
After review.
Apparent touchdown catch.
The ruling on the field stands.
Oh. Touchdown.
No, sorry.
It's not your fault, so. It's not your fault.
Yeah, they screwed that one up.
It's not your fault, sport. I agree. That one they did screw up. And it's Adam Jones, Nick Cattles, in for Zoe and Beetle, taking you up until 2 o'clock with your phone calls.
Can I just say this?
Yeah.
Like, before getting into the conspiracy theories about officiating, I'll just say this. Last night was just the latest but the greatest example of how the NFL has screwed this thing up.
The catch.
When you have two calls and you have no idea what the actual call is going to be, and they're sitting there reviewing it during the freaking Super Bowl, that tells you how badly the NFL has screwed this thing up.
Oh, brutal.
Absolutely brutal.
That's definitely true. This rule has been a mess now for years.
Like, you have people tweeting, all right, did he have possession, or was he trying to move the football in his own? No one knows. Figure it out,
NFL. Can you imagine,
NFL.
Imagine
my
if,
God.
If Romo were on the game last night?
Oh.
Little Zoe-ish there. I mean, Collinsworth was bad enough. Collinsworth's like, well, I don't even know what a catch is anymore. I'm not going to guess. And then like 5 seconds later, he's like, yeah, no, I think it's incomplete. I was like, thanks, Chris. I thought you were sitting this one out. Even though it's not your job, by the way. You're not allowed to sit one out. You just told us you were going to sit one out.
I'm not going to say anything until I authoritatively state something
a
minute later.
I don't really know what it is anymore, and I'm not even going to guess, but I don't think it's a catch. Boom. Zach Ertz touchdown right in his face. So look, I honestly don't think the Ertz one was all that gray of an area. Like, he was considered a runner. He broke the plane. Even when he went to the ground, maybe the ball hit the ground, but I feel like he always possessed it. He never dispossessed it. The ball went flying in the air way after it had hit the ground. Then he caught it again. I didn't think the Ertz one was bad. I know Matt Chatham has his panties in a bunch because there was an illegal formation on the Nick Foles touchdown. Not that the Patriot, the one he caught on fourth down, not that the Patriots should have stopped it or anything, just it's an illegal formation. That's why they lost the Super Bowl, Chatham. I actually agree 1,000,000%. Now that I think about it, that's why they lost the game. An illegal formation in the first half when the Patriots could have just stopped him, that's why they lost the game. The NFL definitely screwed up the Clement thing, the touchdown, the 22-yard touchdown. Great throw by Foles into double coverage. He looked off McCourty. Like, that's a big boy throw by a guy that I personally did not think could make that throw. They screwed that up. That should not have been a touchdown. And that's fine. That's okay to say. Where I get off board with that approach is when people start saying, well, that's why they lost the Super Bowl. If that's your approach to the aftermath of this game today, I really can't talk to you. I really can't help you. There's so many other reasons to look yourself in the mirror with your team, your coach, your execution, your players, before you get to the refs and start bitching about that call. Yeah, they screwed it up. They screwed it up. Philly was still getting points there, I think. They still had a field goal. They were well within field goal range. Elliott knocked a massive field goal to make it an 8-point game from 46 yards out. So I'm guessing he makes that kick, maybe not. They're still getting points there. You still lost by less than that margin. Don't give me the refs. That's not why you lost. You can complain about that call. Don't tell me it's why you lost.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about playoff games and when you talk about the Super Bowl, and this is for any sport, the officiating crews tend to let things go, right? Because they want the players to decide the game and not they themselves to decide the game. So I kind of always expect some calls to be tough. You know, when you look at it, say, oh, well, they could have called that. They might have wanted to call that. But I think for the most part, officials in big games are going to kind of lean towards, I'm not going to throw the flag and get in the way of this game. Versus, I got to make that call.
Which I like.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
I think all fans like that until it starts going against their team. Then they want more flags and more reviews. But I think generally we all agree with that. There were only 7 accepted penalties in the game last night.
I mean, I think
6 on Philly, 1 on New England.
There's been. I know Ben Volen tweeted about this. You know, there's this idea out there, the final Hail Mary, there was a penalty on Gronk, someone grabbed him, whatever.
There was one screenshot that Hogan got knocked out on the play, and people are crying about that now too.
So, like, letter of the law. Yeah, you could probably call that, but the final game of a Super Bowl.
You want to swing the Super Bowl on contact on the biggest player on the field?
Could you imagine the outcry if that call is made, and then you have a scenario where the Patriots are sitting on the 1-yard line because of a PI call? And some people would say, well, the officiating crew can't let the circumstances affect the call. If it's a penalty, it's a penalty. But when you have a Hail Mary, it's very unlikely a call is made because what happens is a lot of guys are pushing each other in that circumstance. So instead of trying to separate a legit penalty or somebody who might have just pushed a little bit, you're not going to throw the flag. You're going to let those guys battle each other, and the best guy comes down with the football in that case.
That would be a more embarrassing call than missing the Clement touchdown, which, again, they got wrong. Just don't tell me that's why the Patriots lost the game. If that's what you do, what did I say earlier? Go to the petting zoo, Cattles. Go to the petting zoo, lick your lollipop, like, sit it out for the next couple of weeks. You're not a real fan. Like, if you need to plug your ears and blame the refs for that loss last night, and you can't bring yourself to look at Bill and his decision-making and the players and their lack of execution, then just sit it out for a couple of weeks. Let's go to Jack in the car. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Not much.
So I definitely don't understand why Malcolm Butler was not in the game last night at all. I mean, it's like you guys said, despite the year he's had, he has been our second-best corner. He is our second-best corner.
At worst.
Yeah, at worst. And there was one play that stood out to me. I think it was on the drive when Clement caught the touchdown. It was like 3rd and 6, and it was Aguilar caught like a little crossing route. It would have been 4th and 3.
Yeah, where Bottomosi whiffed on the catch, or the tackle, I mean.
Yep, and say what you want about Malcolm Butler in coverage, but he is an aggressive tackler. Yep. He makes that tackle.
100%. 100%. I didn't mean to cut him off, but we've talked about that play. You referenced that very early on in the show. Like, Butler makes that play. Maybe Butler still gives up touchdowns to Alshon Jeffrey in the end zone instead of Eric Rowe, but I don't think he takes a terrible angle like Jordan Richards did on the Clement 55-yard catch, whatever that was, because Richards, again, what a bookend season for him. He was terrible on opening night against Kansas City and horrendous again last night. Who would have thunk? All the beat writers were on him last night. He's terrible. He stinks. We know this. And he's playing over Butler. Those are plays Butler would have made. I'm not telling you that they hold Philly to 5 points, 7 points, 0 points, but I don't think they score 41. And I don't think those two plays, specifically the 55-yarder to Clement and the third down conversion to Aguilar, I don't think those happen if Butler's on the field.
You know, we talked about this the first week of the season. I talked about this the first month of the season. When we're looking at these defensive breakdowns by the Patriots, one of the reasons why I believed that the defense would get better, and they eventually did, but they ultimately could not address the lack of talented, you know, a talented depth spot at the defensive line position. They couldn't address the front seven enough to battle a team that had a scheme and skilled players like the Eagles. But part of that is, it's not just the lack of talent. If we're going to credit Belichick and Patricia for coaching guys up and getting the most out of them, then it stands to reason when you watch last night, you can criticize Belichick and Patricia for not getting enough out of the guys that they decided to deploy.
Well, see, no, that's called being consistent. What you do is just Bill's always right, and then when they get something wrong, you just blame the refs. That's what you're supposed to do, Nick. I don't know how you don't know that.
I think when we looked at certain plays where the Patriots had issues with during the year, you could explain them away. You could say, well, that guy screwed up. Like, week one against the Chiefs, you had Cassius Marsh screw up.
Yep.
But you'd look at it, you'd say, okay, well, it's up to Belichick and Patricia to not put Marsh out there in that position to fail. What we saw last night were a number of times where guys were put in positions to fail. And that is something you don't usually see from Belichick. You don't usually see a guy like Jordan Richards, you know, in critical plays when you've seen him screw things up over and over and over again out there in the Super Bowl. Like, you just usually don't see that. And that's why today is going to be crazy, because it's something that is so abnormal and unusual to watch a Patriots game in a big spot like the Super Bowl and coaches not addressing some obvious holes that we were all seeing.
I like the way you said it earlier. It's like it's how the other half lives. It's how the other 31 live. We're not used to seeing Bill Belichick screw up. He screwed up. And that's how most of the rest of the NFL lives. And, you know, it's good to be a Patriots fan, and it's good to have the greatest coach of all time and the greatest quarterback of all time. Bill screwed up last night. Bill was like every other coach we make fun of, week in and week out. Doug Marrone, who's the guy that got fired in Tennessee? Malarkey. Like, just, you know. On Super Bowl Sunday, Bill Belichick got out-dueled by a backup quarterback in Doug Peterson. And that's the bottom line. Like, on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, Bill, for once, was Dick Geron. You know, like, he wasn't Bill Belichick, the greatest of all time. He was Cam Cameron. He was a scrub. And he made a bunch of mistakes. That's why they lost the game. Until we hear differently, that's why they lost the game. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with all your feedback coming up. I do want to get to whether or not Bill has lost the locker room. That's been brought up. We can get to that after the headlines from Tim McCone.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Well, following their Super Bowl loss, a lot of stuff still up in the air for New England. We'll start with rumors this morning about Greg Schiano joining the Pats coaching staff. Bruce Feldman tweeting out that he's told Schiano hasn't decided whether or not he's leaving Ohio State yet. Brian Flores could get promoted to defensive coordinator in New England. Schiano could still have a job with the Pats staff, but he still hasn't made up his mind whether or not he is, in fact, going to leave the college ranks. Bill was asked during his conference call this morning Whether or not he plans on coming back next year, he said, I've addressed that question. I'm not going to be asked the same question every day. That's absolutely ridiculous. Last month, Belichick said he does plan on coming back. Some things. Butler's situation, Mike Giardi saying that the Pats captains were aware that Butler was being sat, but exactly when they were informed, he wasn't exactly sure. Bill Belichick, when asked about it on the conference call, said, quote, it would be a much longer discussion. There are a lot of things that go into that. Celtics were 97-96 winners over the Blazers yesterday. They're back at it tomorrow when they take on the Raptors. Adam Himmelsbach reporting today that Greg Monroe has arrived in Boston. Caesar's still waiting to finalize that deal to keep some flexibility prior to the trade deadline. And a lot of buzz today around Boston for Truck Day with the Boston Red Sox. All right, Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight loss for life and visit awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Tim McCone, Boston Toll for Sports 98.5. The Sports Hub, your next update, 30 minutes.
So and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't know. They gave up on me. It is what it is. It was the coach's decision. I was just doing my job, supporting my teammates. I mean, I have nothing but great things to say about the organization. Great organization. They gave me the opportunity. I don't know what it was. I guess I wasn't playing good or they didn't feel comfortable. I don't know. I could have changed that game, though.
Nice touch by Tom Morgan.
Yeah. Puts you in a good mood, doesn't it?
It should.
Nothing happened last night, Tom. We're all happy today.
Well, you got to be happy for the city of Philadelphia, right? Like, those are good people there.
Especially
you gotta...
the guy who was eating horse crap. He wins. He wins.
There was someone eating
that was
horse.
Tough. That was tough to watch.
I didn't watch it. I just saw the still shot and I walked away. I said, guy eating
McCone,
horse crap.
McCone, you watched
crap.
It?
Yeah, I did.
McCone was all in. He's like, oh, I got to check this out. Hold McCone, on. Hold
McCone's
on, everybody.
Like, well, let's see where this goes.
A guy eating poop on the street.
I don't like to talk about my fetishes on the air, but...
a good horse poop video I can't turn down.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah.
Look at that guy. He's getting into it. Wow.
So there was a guy in Philly eating horse poop.
Hey, he's picking out the corn. Look at that.
That's probably better than... Wait, you're watching it now?
No.
Oh, okay.
So that was me playing McCone.
I see. Oh, that was me. That was.
I felt like I did it effectively though, because you thought I was.
That was your McCone voice.
Yes,
I thought.
No, that was kind of like, you know, just my voice.
I mean, eating horse poop is better than punching out.
Has a voice.
Punching out a police horse.
Like a. You don't really have a.
Thanks,
there's
man.
Nothing about your. There's nothing about your voice that stands out.
Perfect. Thanks.
Like Maz's voice stands out. Jones's voice stands out. Felger does. So
he really talks down to you. Have you noticed that?
100%.
Yeah.
Was that what I wore last time we hung out? Yeah.
You look
no,
good today.
No. The last time you were in with us, he's like, oh, yeah, well, you don't have a girlfriend, right, McCone?
Yes, that's
Listen,
right,
hold
yeah.
on.
No one could possibly love you, McCone, right? Yeah, you don't have a girlfriend.
But we can all agree on this. McCone is dressed better today, and I will take every thank you from him today because I feel like you dressed better today off of me picking on you the last time you were
Well, you got to take your fashion cues from Notre
that's
Dame hoodie
exactly
over here.
Right. Yeah. But I was so rattled right. from the last time we hung out this morning when I was getting dressed. I was like, I hope Kattles likes this shirt.
Let me
it's
tell
like,
you.
No, not this one. Yeah.
Let me tell you, it. My friend nailed it. You
no,
nailed it, okay?
I will say, though, I do feel good for the people of Philadelphia. Like, if anyone deserved a championship, it's those people. You have to feel all warm and fuzzy inside for those people. That's what I feel today. Wow. Thank God they won their first championship since the 1960s. They deserved it. Those heathens. They deserved it. That's how I feel today.
Some of those videos, man. My goodness. People are just. You see the one in the convenience store? People are just throwing stuff and going crazy, and someone's yelling, "Everything's for free now! Everything's for free!"
I don't watch.
The world was over.
I don't watch a lot of the Philly rioting videos because I'm just like, I get it. It's like I don't need to see it. It's a bunch of animals.
I will say this though,
running around and just creating havoc, and you know, I get it. I can picture it without watching it.
So I will say this, like Boston people. We all get crushed, you know, like other sports fans. Oh, Boston fans are the worst.
I mean, we're not great, but we're better than Philly.
No, but I think with this is going to sound pompous, but it is what it is. With all the championships, right, that this city has won over the last decade plus, there has been more than enough opportunity for awful things to happen. And for the most part, for the majority, Boston has handled itself pretty well.
Yeah.
Right? For the majority.
I mean, going back to some of those Red Sox in 03 and 04, those weren't great.
I mean, we're going to go back 14 years. I'm saying for the vast majority of all the parades and all the parties and all the celebrations, I would say that we haven't embarrassed ourselves.
No, I mean, like I said, we're better than Philly. Let's just start with that. I wouldn't call us the best or anything, but we're higher on the food chain than Philly. I will say that.
Okay. Well, at least I got you to say that.
That's a low bar, but
at least
we've cleared
I got something out of you.
But it's a low bar, but we've cleared it. Just quickly, a caller brought up earlier, has Bill lost the locker room? And I said, well, I think it's hard to say he lost it prior to last night. He said he lost it earlier in the year with I forget, maybe the Garoppolo trade. I can't remember. And I guess I'm not ruling that out, but just, man, Bill did a nice job with the locker room that he lost, getting all the way to the Super Bowl and having a lead with 9 minutes to go in the Super Bowl. Like, I'm not quite willing to go there. But I will say that this has the potential to lose some guys in the locker room. And I made the analogy to Pete Carroll. I'm far from the only one to do it. DJ Bean's written about it over at NBC Sports Boston. So, you know, I don't think it's an earth-shattering opinion by me. But Pete Carroll lost that locker room. You know, look at those Philly teams. They have backslid to the point where now they're out of the playoffs. They went from winning the Super Bowl to losing the Super Bowl to making the playoffs and winning a round but not getting back as far as they had been. And now they're completely out of the playoffs and missing the playoffs entirely. They've backslid. And we all know, guys openly second-guess Pete Carroll now right to his face. And it's just he lost the locker room with that decision. Boom. Split second. Malcolm Butler makes a play. You don't hand to Marshawn Lynch. Zoe's screaming it's the dumbest play in Super Bowl history, and you've lost your team. And Bill has a lot more goodwill built up and a lot more cachet built up. He has the hardware. If the players ever doubt him, they can go watch a Do Your Job or go watch Two Bills 30 for 30. Like, there's plenty of things they can watch if they forget. But a decision like that, to sit a well-liked player in Malcolm Butler, for reasons that we don't know, maybe the players do, that has the potential to lose some in the locker room. And when I say that, Nick, Brandon Browner, we talked about this earlier in the show, his Instagram post, Dont'a Hightower's liking it. And Browner is effectively, you know, saying Bill's putting his ego first. I'll get you the exact specifics on what he said, but Brandon Browner is not here anymore and may have an axe to grind. Oh, well. He's blasting Bill Belichick. A locker room was divided pregame. Most yards ever given up in a Super Bowl game, and the most yards ever allowed by any Bill Belichick defense. And your best defender over the past 3 years doesn't get a snap. You were hurt, burnt, when he was needed tonight, or where he was needed tonight, hashtag foolish pride. And now Dont'a Hightower's liking it, as well as some other ex-Patriots, but again, you know, Jamie Collins may have an axe to grind.
You think?
Hightower's liking it. So when I say it could divide a locker room, that's what I mean. Why are players agreeing with Malcolm Butler, or at least a very prominent player in Dont'a Hightower? So is he going to lose the locker room? I don't know. Has he already lost it? I don't know. Does he have the potential to lose it like Pete Carroll did? Yeah, I think so. This is that big of a screw-up. It is.
It's going to depend on the leadership of this team. It's going to depend on guys like McCourty and even Hightower. And I don't know Hightower's relationship with Butler. They might be super tight, so this might be just a case of Hightower standing up for his guy, and maybe, you know, he sits down with Bill during the offseason, and they come to terms with what happened, and they move on. I don't think this is something that will end Belichick as a leader or end his tenure here in New England. I think it's, you know, it's worthwhile looking at, because you do have some of that tension we've talked about all year long, and you have players publicly questioning what happened last night, so it's all fair game. I just don't think it's going to happen. I just don't think that you're going to see Belichick lose the team.
He might not.
I think it's going to come down to the guys in that locker room. It's going to come down to Brady. It's going to come down to McCourty and others. If they're behind Belichick, then all is fine. If those guys don't come out and start running their yaps, because part of the Seattle thing was Richard Sherman always feeling like he could say whatever he wants, and he would go out there and he'd say some things, right? And Richard Sherman feeling like he could yell at the coaches on the sidelines. If you start to see some of that in New England, that would shock me. You know, because you said this word before, and I think it's dead on accurate, the culture. You know, the culture in Seattle is much different than the culture that's been created here in New England.
Yeah, and that's Pete's fault.
Oh, absolutely.
That's Pete's fault. And, you know, Bill does a better job with it. So I don't know. Is he going to lose it? I don't know. But I think a decision like that can have, you know, major consequences down the line. I think Pete Carroll learned that. Maybe Bill won't. Maybe this one won't stick to him the way that stuck to Pete Carroll. But I don't know. Tell that to Dont'a Hightower right now. 617-779-0985. You want to jump in line for Felger and Maz? They're back from Minnesota. They're going to be talking to you at 2 o'clock. We'll wrap things up with today's takeaways next.
Solak and Bertrand. Middays on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Cattles is into it. It's today's takeaways brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life and visit awaken180weightloss.com.
Is Michael Felger here, by the way, yet? Do we know if he landed? Is he good?
I don't know.
Hey, Maz, is Felger actually on the ground? Is he good? I think so. That's what you want to hear 7 minutes before the program starts.
I feel like he's usually, what time is it, 1:54? He's still got a few minutes before he normally breezes in.
Hey, he's got a solid 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
He comes screaming through the studio.
If he walked in now, he'd be way early. That'd be strange.
Yeah, that would be nuts.
Eating lunch on his steering wheel right now.
Eating lunch on his steering wheel.
I could see that.
Screams Jimmy.
I could see that. He's a big salad guy, though, isn't he?
I don't know, yeah?
Pretty difficult. I just always remember him when I was working on the midday. This was years ago, but he was all, like, 90% of the meals were salads.
Yeah, I was early adopter to the TB12 method, I think, is what it was. Yeah, you got to make sure. Especially, I like the way Brady caught last night. I thought that's one thing where maybe the TB12 method didn't work so well.
Pliability.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe try out, work out with the jugs machine a little bit, Tom. Maybe try catching a few passes, maybe a few less pliability stretches. What do we have, Cattles? I don't think we have a lot of audio for takeaways today. I just think we talked about so much. It was a lot of serious breaking down Malcolm Butler and his role and everything else. What stood out to you, though, here kind of picking up the pieces after the loss?
You know, it's kind of a show thing, but it's not a show thing. I just said to McCone and Jay Stu during the break, I'm so happy that we did this show, 10 to 2, because if I was sitting home stewing all day long about this game and then walking in the night at 6 o'clock to do 5 hours, it would have... I'm happy to be able to get up.
You probably would have rewatched it. Like if we were working at 6, I would have rewatched the game before we went in.
I'm done. I deleted everything. Everything is off.
I'll rewatch tonight or tomorrow. I'll rewatch before we're on the air tomorrow. But that would make you stew and get even more pissed, I would think, rewatching.
Yeah, it's just like I was able to get out of bed, shower, dressed, walk in, rant and rave, go crazy, let it all go, and then I'll be able to go home now, have some lunch, and relax. Like, it was perfect schedule today. Thank you. Loved it. As if Bertrand wants to sit out and Zoe a couple more times, 10 to 2, I love it. You get up, out of bed, walk in, do the show. You get the rest of your day to relax and chill out.
By the way, we never said this. They didn't tap. Zoe didn't tap out today because he was like too.
No, yeah. Logistically, they couldn't.
He was too upset. He couldn't handle the loss.
Somebody tweeted at me, they couldn't deal with it.
He probably couldn't, but this was planned either way.
Yes.
This was planned win or lose.
Zoe travels with the team, as is customary with team broadcasters. And Bertrand did the post game from Minnesota last night till like, what, 2 in the morning? So... he's not going to catch a flight at 3 a.m.
I mean, wah. But yes, I mean, yes, he was on until 2 a.m.
I'm not saying wah, but logistically,
yes.
He couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, no, he did it last year. He did it on ISDN from wherever. Where was the Super Bowl last year? Houston?
Well, I don't know. That's a management thing, Joe.
They might not have that technology in Minneapolis, for all I know. McCone, do you have a takeaway from today's program?
No, I like Cattles, by the way, taking the Belichick approach, only watching the film one time.
You watch it, you move on.
Put it to the side.
Well, I know what happened.
That's it. Not doing a deep dive.
I just spoke 4 hours about the game. I'm pretty sure I know what happened.
Yeah, Bill's not going to want to watch the tape after this one.
No.
Watch the Timberwolves.
He might rewatch that Timberwolves game.
You had Jordan Richards defending Zach Ertz. You had Malcolm Butler sitting down watching Eric Rowe get toasted. I mean, the front seven continued to fail to make plays.
There's a lot to get to from the game. We've gotten to a lot of it. My main thing still today, I still find this unbelievable to believe. We all thought we'd walk in with the Patriots crowned for the third time in 4 years, their sixth Super Bowl. Like, we all thought that's how we were going to wake up. Brady, Belichick, greatest of all time, adding to their legacy. Like, we all thought that's where we'd be at. And instead, we wake up today not only with that, we wake up with the Patriots leaving a Super Bowl on the table. Their head coach, the greatest of all time, has the screw-up of all screw-ups with why ever they benched Malcolm Butler. That's a hard one to move past. They lost to a backup quarterback with a player like Malcolm Butler on the sideline, leaving that one in the holster. Like, we all thought we'd come in and crown them again, and instead it's maybe the biggest mistake Bill Belichick's made.
Yeah, I mean, football reasons, it doesn't sell it. You have no legs to stand on if you try to tell me with a straight face that you sat Malcolm Butler for football reasons last night. When Eric Rowe's getting torched, when you have Jordan Richards out there defending Zach Ertz, You have so many things happening. Like, you have so many boneheaded things happening out there and no adjustments. Even if you, as I said earlier, if you want to try to buy the reasoning that, oh, well, Belichick wanted to play big to defend the run. Well, in the first half, it wasn't working, and there were no adjustments. First half, you saw your defense getting absolutely, getting their asses handed to them, and you didn't really make any adjustments. You didn't send out Butler in the second half, and you just decided to let Foles and the Eagles put up 41 points. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Boneheaded as it is.
I still want answers. Not that Bill was going to give them today, and we'll find out if we get any of them. I still want answers on why he didn't play, he being Butler. You know, and that's actually a lie. He did play. He played on special teams. So what did he do that was such a bad thing that he was allowed to play and allowed to dress? And a buddy of mine pointed this out to me. I never connected the dots on this. Chandler Jones, they let Chandler Jones play in a playoff game. Chandler Jones is out there running around, shows up at a police station on synthetic weed, and he gets to play in a playoff game. And now Malcolm Butler kind of can play, but not really. He gets one snap on special teams. Why? That'll do it for us. Zoan Beadle, today's takeaways. Felger Maz taking over at the top of the hour. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, it looks like they have some nice graphics. Some very nice graphics involving Tony Maz. I'd encourage you to check those out. Stay tuned. 617-779-0985.